Would you please open your Bibles to the final poetic book in the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon? Would you pray with me, please? Would you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and speak to you from the Holy Scriptures, from the book of Song of Solomon? Pray that God would speak to you and build you up this morning. Would you please pray for the other people in this room that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts and speak to them through the book of Song of Solomon? Now would you please pray for me that God would help me deliver this sermon accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be led by you and be pleasing to you in Jesus' name. Amen. In your notes, immediately we're going to get started. The Song of Solomon is the most beautiful love song or poem ever written. We are in the poetic section of the Old Testament, and this is the final one. Song of Solomon is a love song or love poem about the relationship between King Solomon and the woman he loves. God is good, brothers and sisters, and he has created marriage for a man and a woman to experience the incredible joys of an intimate relationship. And God has placed in the Bible a masterpiece of poetry to help us see how beautiful marriage is supposed to be. In your notes, the theme is the beauty of romantic love. That is the theme of the book, the beauty of romantic love. And I've included there in your notes an outline directly from the book Old Testament Survey by Paul House and Eric Mitchell. So I need to cite them because this is their outline of the book, and I've included that for you. Let's start with Song of Solomon 1:1. Please open there with me. Song of Solomon 1:1. And we read this. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. May he kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your oils have a pleasing fragrance. Your name is like purified oil. Therefore the maidens love you. Draw me after you and let us run together. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will rejoice in you and be glad. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, and of course Job is the most beautiful poetry ever written. And I want you to see that, first of all, that the Bible is an artistic masterpiece. In this book, we see the incredible joy and beauty of romantic love. And romantic love is one of God's blessings to us. Look at what Solomon says about his woman in 2:2 behind me on the screen. Like a lily among the thorns, so is my darling among the maidens. Solomon is talking about the woman he loves, and he says she is more beautiful than the flowers around her. And more beautiful than all the other women. This is Solomon. Look at chapter 2 with me. Chapter 2, verse 3. And we read this beautiful poetry. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. The woman now is talking. In his shade I took great delight and sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He has brought me to his banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. Sustain me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, because I am lovesick. Let his left hand be under my head, and his right hand embrace me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hens of the field, that you do not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. The woman is delighted by her man. She is captivated by him. Look at the words. In his shade I took great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. She is enjoying the blessings of romantic love. She is in love. It is beautiful, and it is a gift of God. Do you remember, those of you that are married, do you remember how excited you were when you were going on a date with the woman or man who is now your spouse? Maybe it was the first date or the second or the third. Remember how excited or even nervous you were? Men, remember how you couldn't wait to see her? Remember that maybe the date was after work? Women, remember how excited you were when you knew he was coming to pick you up? Romantic love is exciting, and God intends marriage to be just like that. Look at 2:8. 2:8. Listen, listen, my beloved. Behold, he is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He is peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers have already appeared in the land, the time has arrived for pruning the vines, and the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land, the fig tree has ripened its figs, the vines and blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is lovely." They are consumed with passion for one another. Solomon loves her, and Solomon is able to see God's blessing in his life. Romantic love is beautiful. And marriage is the context in which God has blessed us to enjoy it. When I moved here to be your youth pastor, that was 1995. I was not married. Julie and I lived about a mile apart from each other. We were dating, but we were not married. I moved here 2.5 hours away. And of course, since we were not married, Julie had to stay over there. 2.5 hours away. I remember how great it was when my day off came, because on my day off, she drove up here to see me. I remember how beautiful, how I was captivated by her beauty as she got out of the car when she arrived. I remember how difficult it was on that day to stay pure. But by God's grace, we did it. By God's grace, and by God's grace alone. I remember how hard it was to see her drive away. We longed to be married so that we could live together and always be together. Romantic love is a blessing from God. And on February 3rd, 1996, we were able to enjoy that blessing. Turn with me to chapter 3. Verse 1, and we read this. This is the woman. On my bed, night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him but did not find him. I must arise now and go about the city. In the streets and in the squares, I must seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him but did not find him. The watchman who makes the rounds in the city found me. And I said, "Have you seen him whom my soul loves?" Scarcely had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held on to him and would not let him go until I brought him to my mother's house, into the room of her who could see me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hens of the field, that you not arouse or awaken love until she pleases him. Until she pleases. The woman who loves Solomon goes out and seeks him. She must find him. She finds him who her soul loves. She holds on to him and will not let him go. God has given us marriage so we can enjoy that kind of love. Married people, do you rejoice over your spouse? What a privilege it is to love someone so much that you have the privilege of holding on to them and not letting go. Only in marriage can you love someone that much, and God wants you to experience the blessing of loving someone that much and being loved by them, and that's marriage. Look at Proverbs 18:22 behind me on the screen. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Men, do you see your wife in that light? Proverbs 5:18-19. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving hen, a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. God has given you your spouse as a gift. Delight in them. Enjoy them, hold on to them, and do not let them go. Look at chapter 4. Verse 1. Solomon now talks. Some of these descriptions may seem a little odd to you, but please remember they are spoken in the culture of the East thousands of years ago. In that culture, these descriptions are a beautiful, beautiful description of a beautiful, beautiful woman. Look at it. How beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats that have descended from Mount Gilead. Your teeth is like a flock of newly shown ewes which have come up from their washing, all of which bear twins. Not one among them have lost her young. Your lips are like a scarlet thread. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples are like a slice of pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with rows of stones on which are hung 1,000 shields, all the round shields of the mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle which feed among the lilies. Until the cool of the day, when the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my darling, and there is no blemish in you. Solomon is in love, and he is captivated by the beauty of the woman he loves. Romantic love is a gift of God. Man, your wife is a gift from God. She is beautiful, and it is God's will that you enjoy everything beautiful about her. Satan prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you, men. He does not want you to enjoy marriage as God intended, so he distracts you with lust. He distracts you with pornography. Satan does not want you to enjoy God's gift to you, so he tempts you. He has done so ever since the Garden of Eden, when he tempted Adam and Eve with the forbidden fruit. He tempts us men because he hates us. And in our culture, some men actually dare to dishonor God by cheating on their wives. Men, when you do this, you dishonor yourself. You dishonor your wife. And most grievously, you dishonor the Lord. Your wife has been given to you as a gift of God. Enjoy her. Relish in everything that is beautiful about her, spiritually, relationally, physically. Don't turn away from her. It is evil. Amen. And it is foolishness. Look at chapter 5. Now the woman will describe the man. Chapter 5, verse 10, we read this. My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is like gold, pure gold. His locks are like clusters of dates and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves beside streams of water, bathed in milk and reposed in their setting. His cheeks are like a bed of balsam, banks of sweet-scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His abdomen is carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of alabaster set on pedestals of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as the cedars. His mouth is full of sweetness, and he is wholly desirable. This is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Wives here today, do you rejoice in your man? Or does Satan make you focus on all of his deficiencies? Do you rejoice in your man? Your husband is a gift from God. Rejoice in his qualities. Finally, look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, the woman says this to the man, a most beautiful statement. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal over your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. Its flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. That was 8, 6, and 7. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal over your arm, for love is as strong as death. In Bible times, an engraved stone or metal seal was a sign of ownership. She says to Solomon, put me like a seal over your heart, because my heart belongs to you and your heart belongs to me. In our culture, we have this. This ring is a seal for the whole world to see that my heart belongs to Julie. And she has a ring that tells the whole world that her heart belongs to me forever. In your notes, this is so important. God has given us the marriage to enjoy his blessings, and this is key. Marriage is for life. That is crucial to God's plan. Marriage is for life, Trinity Baptist Church. In order to enjoy God's blessing of romantic love, you must commit for life. It is those that grow old together that experience marriage in its fullest. Divorce destroys God's perfect design for romantic love. Love. In your notes, romantic love is a gift from God. Number 4, romantic love is a gift from God. Marriage is the blank, is the God-created environment in which we may enjoy the blessings of romantic love. Brothers and sisters, many of you are married in the audience today. And as sinful human beings, we focus on our spouse's faults. How tragic. How tragic. God has given you such a wonderful gift, and that gift is your spouse. There are many wonderful qualities that your spouse has. It's God's will that you enjoy them. Number 5, God wants you to enjoy your spouse physically, spiritually, and relationally. One more thing we see in the Song of Solomon, number 6, in your notes, God has designed romantic love to be enjoyed heterosexually. This is very important. God has designed romantic love to be enjoyed heterosexually. Though the book of Song of Solomon does not mention homosexuality, the model we are given is heterosexual. Men are designed specifically by God to please women. Women are designed specifically by God to please men. That's God's design. If you're here this morning and you are struggling with homosexuality, please listen to what I'm about to say. We do not hate you. We want to help you. Just like the rest of us need help in certain areas, you need help too. Let us help you embrace God's plan for your life. Single people. Some of you are single here today, and you're saying, why did I come here today? For single people, listen to me. This book gives you a picture of what marriage can can be if you wait for God's will and do not rush into your own agenda. I've been a pastor for 22 years. Started when I was 6. Sorry, that's not true. I've been a pastor for 22 years. In 22 years, there has been a steady stream of people calling me in pain. For 22 years, there has been a steady stream of people calling me in pain. And it is my privilege to help them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Please listen to me. In 22 years, the people in the most pain are people that have suffered or are suffering in bad romantic relationships. Wait. Wait for God's timing. You're here and you're single and you think it's a bummer. Look at notes. Look at number 7. If you are single, embrace God's gift of singleness and wait for Him to bless you with the right person. Embrace God's gift of singleness and wait for Him to bless you with the right person. 1 Corinthians 7 says singleness is a gift from the Lord. And it is. And you think being single is a bummer. Please listen to me. Being in the wrong relationship is 100 times worse. Wait for God's will. I waited. I married Julie when I was 28. And some of you have waited a lot longer than that. But I would not and did not, once I matured, got to qualify with that, I would not and did not date women that did not love Jesus. And I waited and I waited and I waited. 5 years at the Master's College, 4 more years at Biola, I waited and waited and waited and waited and waited until I found a girl that I could serve the Lord with, and I got Julie. Wait. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. We usually read this, and the focus is on husbands and wives. But as we close the Song of Solomon, I want to focus not on the application, but on the ultimate. We focus on husband and wives, but the passage tells us that Christ loves the church perfectly. And husbands, I stand before you as your brother in Christ. You can love your wife because Jesus loves you. Use this passage and be reminded of Christ's love for you. You can love your wife because Christ loves you. You can love your wife because Christ's Spirit lives in you. Men and women, the best thing you can do for your marriage is to live your life closely connected to Jesus. As He loves you, love your spouse. As He loves you, love your spouse. You're here today and you say, I am tired. Some of you may be here today and you're saying, I have given and I have given and I have given and I have given and I don't have anything left to give. The one who gave everything lives in your heart. By Christ's power, you can love your spouse in purity, sacrificially, and for life. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the Song of Solomon, and thank you for your gift of marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.